Well, good morning and welcome. Glad you can join us today and thank you for coming. It's a great weather in Minnesota, as a difference for other places in the United States. In the last 8 months, I've had the opportunity to meet most of you in your office, and today it's my pleasure to welcome you on behalf of the 3M team to our office here at 3M. It's our objective today to lay out our 6 strategies for the future and talk about the plan as we move ahead for the next 5 years. We started out the journey by articulating a vision that was important for the company, and we laid this out in late February. The vision is based on the purpose for us. It's a vision that is articulating what we do, how we do it, and where we do it. It's also a vision that is timeless, and I think it was also timely. Is by definition a stretch, and it's very authentic to what we stand for as a company. A vision should be authentic for what you can do, and that should be in stretch into it. So how we do things as a company, and I've done for 110 years, we are proving things by advancing, enhancing, and improving. And we do it through technologies, products, and innovation. And when you think about it in terms of our portfolio, in terms of the breadth and the depth we have geographically, we can do it in every company, every home, and every life as a stretch. Every company in terms of improve efficiency and productivity for the companies with our products, and or be specced in to many products that is making our customers' products even more effective in their marketplace. In terms of the home, I think the first thing most people think about is our own brands, Post-it, Scotch-Brite, Filtrete, Command, etc. But it's much more than that. It's product that we have specced in to some of our customers that are enhancing every home around the world. And then finally, every life. For us, life is around sustainability, but it's also business-wise around healthcare and it's around schooling. So when we look upon it, we thought this is a very clear, concise vision for the company that is very timeless, and this is what will guide us for the future as we move ahead. At the same time, we laid out 6 strategies, and the strategies are related to the enabler in order for us to obtain the long-term vision. And as you can see here, and you have seen them before, there is 4 strategies that are relative to growth. There is one that is relative to people, and then finally one relative to operational excellence. They're important, and we will talk about them today in order to make some clarification as we move ahead. I can say that the first one is around where to play, and the second one is how to win. The third one is the only strategy that starts with a statement, invest in innovation, and I think you will see that later today, that we are committed to do that. It's also about building out our capabilities on a global base. And for us, it's not to build out to be stronger somewhere and weaker somewhere else. We are building to be stronger everywhere. And then it's around our people that is the key element to execute the plan. And then we will talk about how we will pay for some of the investments we are doing, which is around operational excellence that we are pretty good at but can always be better, as you know. Now, as I visit you the last 8 months in your offices, we have done other things here and taken a lot of actions. And as I said, we launched early 6 strategies in the company that is now embedded in all businesses. But in addition to that, we formed 3 new divisions, aerospace, defense, and mining and oil and gas, all based on market opportunities that we saw. At the same time, we combined 6 divisions to 3, all based on building relevance in the marketplace and scale for the businesses. And then we build out the competency in the center of the company in terms of 5 areas where we believe that we needed to improve. And you can see here that there is 3 center of excellence offices that are related to commercialization, which is marketing excellence, sales excellence, and e-business, which are all global positions and that we will leverage in the middle of the company. And then we have Lean Six Sigma and acquisition integration, which I will categorize in operational excellence. So they're important as we move ahead relative to where we are going in order to strengthen something that we are good at but can become even better. So a lot of progress and actions have been taken. Now, everything you will hear today is based on 3M's fundamental strength and the business model that we have, which is very strong. And in the center of that is our technology strength. That is combined with what we believe world-class, diverse talent that is very, very strong for us. And I will comment on that later when I come into our HR pool, in combination with manufacturing engineering processes. So you think about those elements are really key for our success. But in addition to that, what we have that very few can talk about is an unparalleled global reach with a subsidiary network around the world. And we have a very, very strong financial position, as you say. So we can with confidence saying that we are very strong and world-class in all those five elements. And that is the strengths of the 3M business model. And it's working very well for us. And a proof of that is this. This is the last decade of how we have delivered to you and to our shareholders. You can see here that we have delivered an EPS CAGR growth of 11% of the period. That's coming with a sales CAGR of 6% and an average of return of invested capital of 22%. So the model is working very well. We have done it for many years, and I hope that you can feel confident as we move ahead with new initiatives here that we are committed to this as well. Now, let's look upon the last decade in a different way. And we are going in now to the next five-year plan, but we're coming out of 2 5-year strategic plans in the past. And I thought it was important just to put it in perspective, because this is now where we believe we're in a fantastic place as we move ahead, because we have some incredible strengths that we can build on. So we're able now to build strengths on strength. And as you know, the company is 110 years of age, but we should only talk about 10 years this morning. So the first planning process from 2000 to 2005 was about efficiency, productivity, and processes. That was where we put a lot of efforts in to improve our efficiency, and we had a lot of margin expansion. I think we went from 17 to 23% of margins. We also started a big initiative around leadership development in the company. The second portion, 2006 to 2011, that was where we were driving the big dream. Everyone could win, and we reinvigorated the laboratories, and we built out our capabilities on a local base around the world. Very important, but important also to understand that 2000 to 2005 made it possible to do it, because that was when we improved our financial position by improving margins. So outcome of the last piece is much stronger pipeline in terms of new products. There is a mindset of everyone can win. And in fact, we lost a little bit on the margin side, but not much. So it's proven to us that the DNA in the company in terms of efficiency and productivity is there. And the mindset is there now that we can win, and we have a much stronger pipeline as we go into the next period versus when we went into 2006. Now, as we go into the next phase here, what will be important for us is, first of all, to build on the strength, research and development, efficiency and productivity, and we need now to be faster and more efficient in commercialization on a global base. And we need to make some additional prioritization. And I will show you that in a second, how we will do that. But this is how we will move forward, and as I see it, we are in a fantastic place because we can build strings on strings as we move ahead. Now, with that as the background, and as maybe many of you have seen this morning, we have now laid out clear financial objectives for the next 5 years. And you can see here a set of clear objectives that are both aggressive and realistic and grounded what we believe in today's realities. Over the next 5 years, we intend to grow earnings per share in the range of 9 to 11% per year with an underlying organic sales growth of 4 to 6%. We will maintain the return on invested capital above 20% with a free cash flow conversion of 100%. So this is what we're laying out. We believe it's aggressive but realistic, and we will talk about them here today of how we will accomplish that. Now, there's many levers for us in order to drive EPS growth. And in between David and myself, we will cover this today. But one of the things that all of you have asked me the last 8 months is around growth. So that has been a burning thing on your mind, and that's why I would like to start to talk about it, because let's get that out of on the table immediately. And let's first go to the facts. So what is the facts? Well, during the same period, the last decade, we have had a capacity and capability to grow 1.5x IPI. So in this period, IPI have been growing 2, we have had a growth of 3. So that's the base for the past. And that is, in my view, an important element, because this is now telling us this is our capacity and capability to do. We are able to do this. That's the facts. Now, when we look into the future, when you look externally, you will get many different numbers and opinions, as you can see here. And if you look upon it short term, there's a range of IPI growth from 2.6 to 3.9 for 2013. Now, today, we're here to talk about the longer term. We're here to talk about 5 years. And when you go out and look for 5 years, you can see there is less of clarity and less information. But however, they are talking about growth rate of an average of 4% for the data you have. Now, this is all fine and important information, but we need to make up our own mind relative to what we believe as we move ahead. And based on our assumption, and I would say realistic, little bit conservative planning, we assume a 3 to 4% IPI growth in the period. So when we look upon that, estimate a 3 to 4% worldwide industrial production growth for 2013 to 2017, we go back again to the facts and to the base. So if we assume that, and we know that we have the capability and capacity to grow 1.5x, that is what we're coming out and laying out now, that we believe as we go into the plan that a 4 to 6% growth rate is a realistic one for us as we move ahead. And I thank you for all the input during the last 8 months in these discussions. And then on that, I've done some of my own background search. And I think we are coming out now with something that we feel better about. We have now backed that on from the 7 to 8 that came from an objective at the time, at a different time, to a stretch target. And we lay out the new growth rate for you here this morning. Now, this will only happen if we execute our strategies effectively. So let's start to talk about our 6 strategies here. And I will start with the 2 first one, which is around where to play and how to win. And I would like you to leave today to say the theme here today at 3M, we're not only here to play, we're here to win. And it's important for us in the strategies that we laid out that we will be very, very aggressive in terms of our stepping up our competitiveness, and I hope that will come true in the discussions today. Now, we talk this through with you in 5 blocks, if you like. I will talk about portfolio prioritization. I will talk about the alignment of the organization that we also have done, how we can maximize some global opportunities and penetrate some large markets, and then make some comment on merger and acquisition as we move ahead. So let's start on prioritization in the company. We have a great portfolio, highly diverse, with many outstanding businesses, but of course, we can strengthen them even further. To start the process, we conducted a very complete review of all our businesses, which was based on the relevance both strategically and financially. And I'm sure you have recognized here that we have not labeled the bubbles, and that is by design. But this is how they look like. But I will give you a little bit more clarity as we move ahead. And I would like you to look upon this as a framework for action. This is the framework for action as we move ahead. So first of all, I will announce this morning that we have formed something we call the Heartland Division. The Heartland Division for us is very large. They are very profitable. They represent 1/3 of the company. They are businesses where we must win, and I'm here to tell you this morning, we will win. We have very strong brand equity, and all businesses are connected back to our technology platforms, which is the reason why they are so strong. The divisions are very important to me and to us as a management team, and if they're important to us, you should also know about them. So I will now label them to you. So here's the 5 divisions: Abrasives, Personal Safety, Automotive Aftermarket, Electrical Markets, and Industrial Adhesives and Tapes. And the last one, industrial adhesive and tapes, is led by Mike Roman that will come up later and talk about it today. Very important for us, heartland divisions, and you should know about them as we know about them. We have also identified a category called Push Forward. This business stands for $8.7 billion, and here is the best growth opportunity for us as a company as we move ahead. Here we will put additional investment and make sure that we push them for growth as we move ahead. I will not call out the divisions, but I will call out some markets in a second, and you will hear about one of those divisions this morning. And then finally, there is something called strategic review. And as you know, as portfolio managers, every company and every operation will have something in the portfolio that is not really doing as well as the average of the company. We are no different. So we have a collection of business here that is $2.5 billion in sales, which we now will look upon from a strategic perspective. And the thing I know here is that in some cases, we will help them to become better in 3M portfolio. In some cases, they are stars in some other companies. One thing you should know, all of them are very profitable and doing very well. It's just in a very tough competitive position for 3M. The thing I can tell you, and what you should like to know, one thing for sure is they will not stay in that position. They will not stay in that position. So we will move them, and that will be a process in terms of this active portfolio management that you will see, and you should look upon this as a framework as we move ahead. So I think that's one other topic that you should take away. You will see much more active portfolio management from us as a team as we move ahead. So here they move, and as I said, one thing we know, that they will not stay in that position. We will help them to improve the performance. Now, based on this, there is some prioritization that is coming out in terms of additional investment for us. And you can see here, it's skin and wound care business, it's electronic market material, safety area, do-it-yourself in infection prevention. And it's infection prevention that you will hear about today from Deborah Rechtenwolf later. So you will hear one division in Heartland and one in Push Forward this morning. But here is big opportunities for us, and this is where we will make some additional investment as we move ahead. Now, the prioritization is not done in a silo of performance just today. We have also looked into the mega trends, and as you know from the past, we are following 8 mega trends where we try to connect the businesses together for the future. So it's very important for us that we have considered this as we move ahead and made a decision relative to the portfolio. And you will hear today from all presenters that they will connect back to the mega trends. So it's important to just get this as a base for the rest of the day. Now, alignment of the organization. I said we started with the vision and the strategies. Structure follow strategies, not the other way around. So after we put the strategies in place, start to work on it in the organization, we also start to look upon, are we really aligned for the future relative to what we would like to obtain? And if you go through the strategies, one thing is we are looking to expand our relevance with our customers. We would like to broaden our presence in key markets. And of course, we would like to make sure that we can build scale and leverage so we can prioritize better in every business group. And then a very important thing is to align the market and the customer more closely to the technology platform so we can get speed in terms of customer-inspired innovation back to technologies and commercialize faster back again. So it's very important to make sure that we align that. And it has also to do with, I would say, utilization of our assets around manufacturing and laboratories and capabilities. So the outcome of that was that we went from 6 business segments to 5 business groups. 2 businesses that was very well aligned relative to the external world was, of course, healthcare and consumer, so we didn't touch that, but we made some changes in industrial, we made some changes in safety and graphics, and we made some changes in electronics and energy. everything in order to be easier to do business with, be able to react faster and do it with speed, which was important. And you will hear today on the electrics and energy business from Mike Kelly, which you can see now is almost a $6 billion US dollar business where we interact with very big global OEMs around the world. So important for us to get more relevance into that business. So that was one thing we did during those 8 months that we listed out action taken but we didn't have on that list. Now when we look upon global opportunities for us, one thing you can see here that if we look upon developing and developed world and we go back to 2003, which is the data I have used before, you can see that in the developing world we have moved from 21% back in 2003 to 35% today. And it probably an outcome be 40 to 45% in the end of the plan. Why this is important and why we are able to build out so fast, I would say, is that there is an evolution in the world which is playing into our favor. If you look upon time versus GDP per capita, evolution and development in a country, it's always going in the way of first is infrastructure building out. After that, manufacturing is moving in. When that's in place, safety is becoming increasingly important due to the fact that now you have now often many big Western companies that come in and set regulation and expect the same in those countries as in the home country. After that, disposable income is becoming available in a higher degree because there is now work for people. This is where the consumer space is coming into place. And in the end of the process, that is where countries often have come to pace where they can start to invest for improve the healthcare for the individuals in the country. So this is the evolution for a country. So after you get your own flag, you get your own currency, the evolution is starting. Always happen in this way. If you now think about our portfolio, why is this good for us? Well, you start to look upon it, we are part of this, the whole evolution forward. We were there for an infrastructure immediately in terms of road signs, in terms of communication. We follow with industrial, it's 30% of the company. Big opportunities for us as manufacturing is moving in. Of course, in safety is a big opportunity for us and one of the divisions in the Heartland division, divisions that we can build on. And then we have the consumer with our whole consumer business. That is capitalizing in later part of the cycle, and then healthcare that then is coming in the end for some of the businesses. This is important because this is a proven model for us. It's working very well. That is why some you can see some growth is coming now and accelerate specifically in healthcare and consumer and safety out in the developing industries. Now, when you do this, it's not only about products. It's also about capabilities around people, around research and development, around manufacturing. And Latin America is a good example of that. Latin America for us, as you can see, is a $2.6 billion US dollar business. Look upon 2003, we were $1.1 billion. Look what we have been doing there the last couple of years. And this is the most developing country that we have. The model is working very well. We've been there since 1946. We have very established key account operation there. We have manufacturing and research centers there. And you look upon shorter term, we have had now 11 consecutive quarters of double-digit organic growth. Absolutely tremendous base for us with still big opportunities. Point is, we know that the model is working. The model we have put in place in Latin America, that we now take to China, to Central East Europe, to Middle East, it is working for us. And when you look upon Latin America, still the future here around home construction, infrastructure, healthcare, and energy is playing very well to our portfolio, and we have the capability to execute that. The other place is China. Look upon China is now at $2.2 billion for us. We believe we will double that in the plan. We've been there since 1984. Very important as we move ahead. And as you think about their economy, they are not moving from manufacturing to domestic business. They're expanding into domestic consumable business. They will continue in the manufacturing side. We've been there for a long time. I think we have were the first foreign wholly owned subsidiary back in 1984. Big operation, local organization, do what we know what to do there. And then you look upon the evolution for them. This is building on the manufacturing foundation we have there into safety, to healthcare, to home construction, to consumer. So very, very important as we move ahead. Point is, Latin America and China is equal in terms of the opportunity for us in the plan moving ahead. And I think that's an important element when you look upon the future for the developing country. So what about the developed? They're becoming smaller in the pie, but they are still growing. There is bigger challenges, of course, as we all know, but for us, it's the core of our operation. And the biggest core of it is the United States. United States for us is a $10 billion US dollar business, and we know this is the biggest economy in the world. It's also our biggest subsidiary. We have a significant brand equity here. We have manufacturing capabilities here. We have the most significant and sophisticated research and development here. And this is where we really have to make sure that we continue to grow as we move ahead. When I became COO in May of 2011, after I've led international for 8 years, one of the things was to look upon the United States and say, what can we do different in order to make sure we are growing faster? It became clear to me in those meetings that we have terrific people here, and we have all those elements that I'm listing here. It came down more, I would say, to focused execution. So we put a playbook in place where we basically now have more focused and dedicated leaders for United States. We are prioritizing in the different business groups based on the opportunity in United States. We are leveraging the most sophisticated research and development functions that we have in the world. And we are driving what we call customer-inspired innovation and consumer insight for the consumer business in a much more focused way. And we are driving productivity just relentlessly. So what have happened is we have had multiple quarters now with local growth in the United States, but we have also improved the margins, and I think we are running that now at around 20% in United States. So big improvement, important for us, and we are committed and will not let up anything in the United States as we build out around the world. So we are not building in order to be weaker anyway. We are here to win. Now, we make a couple of comments on some big, large markets just for you to understand what we're doing. We just formed mining and oil and gas. This is about integrated safety. It's about infrastructure protection, and it's about very much about water management. Important for us, we formed a division. We are now dedicated research and development to that business. Credible, strong leadership in place, and the plan for us is basically to double in these spaces as we move ahead. The automotive market for us is a very successful, very interesting business. In fact, we are growing twice the market size at this point in time. And the interesting thing here for us is we can help with safety, noise reduction, and fuel efficiency. So we have incredible solutions that is playing right into the automotive industry. And we are committed to go after this even more as we move ahead. And we have now a Japanese individual leading this business on a global base. Very, very encouraging for us, and doing very good inroads in light management and noise reduction in those areas on the platforms. Personal safety, huge. If you think about evolution of countries, safety is in the middle. So safety is both for developed and developing world a very, very key element. And this has, of course, to do with respiratory protection, hearing safety, and personal protection. We have a huge business here, very good brand equity, very profitable, good position, and we will continue to invest in this business for the future. And then finally, I will make a comment on a very strong business we have in Consumer Business Group that is going right down to what I call earlier consumer insight in terms of workplace, homes, and play. And this is a huge global opportunity for us. It's the only business that from a mixed perspective is bigger in the United States than in international. And as I showed you earlier in terms of evolution, many places around the world, we will now be able to capitalize on this. And our brand equity here with Scotch-Brite, Command, Scotch Blue, Scotch, Post-it, Ace, Futuro, Nexcare, Filtrete, Scotch Guard, and Thinsulate is very strong. And we have good position in the channels on a global base. And as you know, there's a lot of contemporary channels coming in and play here as well. So this is a good business where we can go from left to right in terms of following what needs to be done in the market, use the channels and the brands, and then connect to technologies in order to develop that business. And then finally, a couple of comments here on M&A. First of all, M&A is not a strategy for us. M&A is a complement to the most important strategy, which is organic growth. So organic growth is a strategy for us. We will complement that with emerging acquisitions. It will be built on the portfolio prioritization I just shared with you. It will be emphasized on higher growth areas. We will look increasingly for technologies, but we are committed to the target of 1 to 2 billion on an annual basis we move ahead. So as I said earlier, you probably will see slightly bigger, maybe fewer than you have seen in the past, but we're still committed to complement our growth strategy with this. And as I said earlier, we have also, you have two things, is identification and do them, and then is to integrate them where we have put a center of excellence in place with a playbook for the company. So that's the two first strategies. The third one is invest in innovation. And as I said, the only strategy that starts with a statement in the beginning is very important for us, is in the middle of the plan. And it's my pleasure now to introduce my friend, Dr. Fred Polensky, that will talk us through the research and development, and then I will come back after that. So, Fred.